I'm Scapoose, Sweet Home. I don't care. But I think in terms of what I've heard today is a process where the decision seems to have already been decided upon, and we come up with enough information to justify the decision that we've already made. So I'm more than comfortable saying I think we need to go back and look at this for numerous reasons.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nisswender, this motion is to delay. Is there any other specific, Senator Carter, specific recommendation language? Would you state your motion?
Let me preface that by saying I don't have an ox to gore in this fight, and it's very clear that I don't. But I think when citizens across this state have a concern, that we as the legislature have the responsibility to make sure that all of our citizens are heard. The ultimate decision, I will support. If it's in Salem, I will support it. But I am for all citizens of the state having opportunity to express their concerns. And this has nothing to do in terms of bashing the department. I respectfully accept the notion that you have a project manager and that kind of stuff. So it's not about that at all. It's all citizens having the opportunity to be heard. My motion is that we will delay, Mr. Chairman, and until the next A-Board meeting, until whatever day, once the leadership has decided upon that. And so I don't know whether it's just delay or delay for the next A-Board. What is your pleasure?
With the agency working with the community.
Oh, absolutely. Involved. Absolutely. That's a part of it, that the agency will work with the communities involved.
Okay, Mr. Nisswender?
Just to clarify, on the basis of that motion, the department does have about $550,000 in remaining funds and expenditure limitation that they were going to apply toward site-specific design. So I think it would help the agency in the process if there was specific direction as to what you want them to accomplish between now and then. It would also help me and the BAM analyst to know if they have adequate expenditure limitation to carry out those activities, because they may need also additional, because whenever you do anything more site-specific, it does cost money. I think in this particular request, $400,000 of the $900,000 was for site-specific studies. If there's specific information that you want them to come back here with, there would be a cost associated with that, and we need to consider that at the time we defer. Because if you defer this whole thing, there is no additional expenditure authority other than what they have right now, which is $550,000.
And how are those dollars anticipated to be used?
They were going to be applied towards site-specific studies at the Salem site. Approximately $400,000 was for studies, various studies that was going to be done to further their preparation for a site-specific proposal.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I forgot your name. Excuse me. Where's your good at middle?
Ms. Middle.
Ms. Middleton. Thank you. How much do you think it would cost for you to go back and talk to these communities of concern?
Senator Hannah and Senator Carter, I guess I need to understand what that conversation is going to center around. Is there an expectation that we're going to do more environmental work, or an expectation? I need to understand. I'm not, because the issues that we have on the table are the environmental concerns in Sweet Home, and I'm not sure what to do with that.
I think looking at the data, my concern would be looking at the data again, since one of the charges is that there was erroneous information that you might have received, as opposed to other information that, especially from Representative Johnson's community, that had been dealt, that had been changed, but you did not have a chance to look at that data. And in the situation with Senator Yee, that you'd have the opportunity to look for that information, talk with the city managers, and to see if all the information you have that you receive from the project managers, and maybe that you could personally get this information. But something needs to happen in terms of making sure that the department has had this conversation with these communities in concern.
Senator Hannah, Senator Carter, I'm going to try not to be in any way disrespectful here, but we have sat down with them expressly and gone over the numbers and even come to terms with where the variables are in the disagreement and set those parameters out so that the steering committee could see those. The only thing that we would have left to do is if we went back and looked at secondary issues, and if we truly went back and did studies, you know, and reviewed things to see if there were Indian burial grounds, but those are not the kinds of things that that we probably should do at this level if we can't resolve the things that would stop us to go forward on those pieces of property. I mean, I'm glad to do it, but those things will cost money, and we'll have to bring experts in. We've done the other things in terms of roadways and infrastructures and kind of what it would take to develop that property. So I need a little help, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Understandable. Mr. Chairman, maybe Representative Johnson and Senator Yee or either one of the two Senate city managers can
tell us what they'd
like to see happen.
Representative Doyle.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I guess my concern was, I think what's being expressed now is if we have this delay, what are the expectations 3 months from now? And I guess I defer to Representative Johnson if she's got some ideas on it.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to hear them.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I actually do have a suggestion. We keep talking about a site-specific selection. To the best of my knowledge, inside this campus, this 1,000-acre campus, a site for the Salem facility has not yet been identified or costed. And so it seems absolutely reasonable, in order for us to compare apples and apples, would be to identify the site, prepare the cost estimate for the sewer and the drainage and the roads. I find, for example, fascinating when you look at their first comparison that they put out, that there are charges against one of the other communities for subsurface drainage and storm sewer, and yet it's rendered not applicable at Salem. I don't know why Salem is exempt from having cost calculations done for what will clearly be a requirement. So it seems to me that in this period of time between now and the next e-board, that a refinement of a Salem site and some cost estimates for what that would be completely appropriate. And based on the cost estimate work that was done in Scappoose, I can't see, particularly by Mr. White's admission that we're dealing with a range, I can't see that that's going to cost the department a huge amount of money. It moves them towards their ultimate desire, which is to site the site in Salem. And we're simply asking, come forward with the exact site, come forward with the calculation of how much mile a linear road costs, come forward with the cost for the subsurface drain and storm sewer, and then let's see if the sites all pan out in comparison to each other so that the citizens of Oregon are getting a good deal. Right now, we don't even know where the site is in Salem. In all the other sites, we can define it with some specificity, with the exception of Sweet Home, which was told that their one site worked until suddenly at the last minute it came up that the footprint was too small. We now have another site in Sweet Home that perhaps could profit from some further investigation. And it doesn't have to be lengthy consultant studies. I watched their engineering staff come to Scappoose and kind of on the back of a napkin work out how much 2 miles of road would cost. The fact that they estimated it at almost $8 million left me breathless. But they can do it without having to retain a whole cadre of specialists. We're just asking for 2 months to refine where specifically is the Salem site going to go, what are the rough estimates for all of the infrastructure costs, and let's see at the end of the day at the January e-board if the costs still all line up.
Okay.
That's my motion.
What I'm going to do, we need to narrow this down in scope.
Yes.
And the size of a motion so we understand what our expectations are. So would you be so kind as to state the motion that Senator Carter is proposing delaying, but you want to insert these other requirements?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And then we'll vote on that issue.
Okay, I'll take a stab at it. Recommend delay until the January e-board. And in that period of time, to specifically identify the location of the Salem site within the Mill Creek District, to prepare rough cost estimates for infrastructure costs so that they can be comparable with the other communities, to visit with the city manager of the city of Sweet Home to explore the potential of an alternate site that was not known to anyone until the very end of the process, and to further refine with the city of Scappoose cost estimates on road, highway, and street improvements. Report back to the January e-board for a final decision.
You've heard the motion, Ms. Middle. Do you understand what is expected?
Senator Chair, I do understand it. We have virtually all of that information sitting here today. We've done that process, but do it again if
Chair,
we need to.
Then can someone point on the map where you're going to build this thing?
Sure. Also, in your packets with our request are the estimates that relate specifically to those, and then addressing the issue of the what's subsurface Director Metal, is the Salem sewer costs on the material that's in our packet?
The way the sewer and drainage costs were done on all sites was to look at those things that were extraordinary above and beyond what the infrastructure cost, regardless of where it went. So we already had factored in what would be required on any site, no matter what. So if anything beyond that is what is factored.
Well, I think we're regressing here backwards.
I'm just, because we're hearing that they haven't selected it, but now we're hearing that they have selected it. And so it just seems to me that we have some other committees that need to go through this process to actually know where this thing is actually going to be located in the 1,000 acres.
I'm gonna bring this to a halt here so we can vote up or down on the motion, and we need to move ahead. The motion is to delay and require the department to work with these cities and the Marion County site to determine if it's apples to apples and the estimated cost to put in infrastructure and improvements to the facility equal to each other. Is that clearly understood? Okay, clerk, call the roll on the motion to delay.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Doyle?
No.
Aye. And the motion passes.
Carried.
Representative Senator Carter, would you carry it?
Yes. Under State Police.
Item 20, State Police. We moved over this. Welcome, Superintendent.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Ronald Ricker, the Superintendent of the Oregon State Police. Joining me at the table are the Budget Director for the Department, Danny Bisgard, and our DAS Budget Analyst, Bill McGee. We're here today to report on a business plan for the department as directed by the budget note in HB 5014. During the legislative session, that budget note asked us to come back and report and identify and prioritize and take various management actions to address some known areas of underfunding that were present in our budget. Those areas also asked us to address minimum staffing levels estimated by budget note for patrol, criminal, and fish and wildlife as passed in our budget bill in House Bill 5538. We've developed a business plan since the adjournment of the legislative session to address some known problem areas in our budget, approaching about a little over $2 million. And we've submitted that plan to the committee. Our plan, the problems we're trying to address, or we are addressing through our business plan, involve us holding some management vacancy savings, vacancy savings in non-sworn positions. We delayed our recruit school, as was discussed with the legislative leadership at the end of session. We initially had planned to delay it until January to help us mitigate some of our budget deficit. We have instead recently gone through the hiring process and will convene our recruit academy on the 2nd of December, a month earlier than we expected to when we developed our business plan. We'll have 36 recruit officers going to Camp Rylea here in a few weeks. Our plan involves a reduction of holiday pay expenditures, reduction of out-of-state travel, replacement of expendable capital outlay, and also our plan involves the use of some of the proceeds of the sale of one of our twin-engine aircraft to cover some of the shortages in our budget. When our budget was heard during the session, we had expected to use those revenues for the operation of that aircraft in the 2003-05 biennium. We've instead now applying some of the proceeds of the sale of that asset to address our current shortfalls. The categories of the problems that we knew about at the end of session were where we knew we were underfunded were in the areas of overtime, cost of attorney general services, vehicle operation costs, so on. We also learned right at the tail end of the session that the Oregon Tax Court had ruled that the majority of the revenue source to fund the Boxing and Wrestling Commission, which is part of the Department of State Police, was unconstitutional. The result is about $160,000 of costs that we are absorbing in our budget to continue to provide those services while until the, some future session of the legislature has an opportunity to identify a revenue source to address those costs. We've historically been underfunded in the medical examiner contract costs that we provide, we pay out to providers to conduct autopsies and toxicology examinations for us. That was a problem again in this budget, and we also were unsure at the end of the legislative session what was going to occur in terms of collective bargaining with actually all three of our bargaining units, the largest of which is the OSPOA, and I'm very happy to report since then we have a tentative settlement of that labor contract, which has helped us to, frankly, helped us to go ahead and get our recruit school underway, because it, it eliminated a big question mark that was otherwise looming for us in terms of what the potential arbitration award might expose us to in terms of our business plan. We continue to face some problems in the area of federal grant matching for ongoing projects as we continue to work now with through pressures on the general fund and our budget. Funding the match requirements on some of these projects is continuing to be a challenge. We have incurred about $500,000 and a little over that in fire costs for the 2001 fire season. Everybody was well aware how tinder dry we were last summer. Those Conflagration Act costs, we expect to be about $550,000. Generally, we come back to the board and ask for those funds after they have been expended, and we're continuing to monitor that in our business plan. We don't have anything, we're experiencing, like everybody else, higher cost to operate vehicles with the rising price of gasoline. We budgeted that at $1.23. It's now $1.47. Every time it goes up a penny, that's about a $37,000 impact on our budget, so we're continuing to monitor that. Everyone is well aware of what's happened in our country on the 11th of September, and the Department of State Police has put together, in response to that tragedy, an Office of Public Safety and Security, which is absolutely critical to help us with our operational plans for the operation of the department, but also to provide competent and timely counsel to the governor for his concerns in protecting the people of the state of Oregon. We put that unit in place with a small number of people. We're going to continue to work with our partners, with the governor's office, with DAS and others, as we continue to have budget impacts in our operations as a result of the attacks on our country and various measures that we have to take to be prepared for what might come next. And
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hill.
Do we have an estimate in terms of sort of what that's costing us? I mean, you know, I'm not aware the federal government's spending lots of dollars. Are there any opportunities to try to, if we identify any task force that we have to put together to get that in terms of, but I mean, in the short term, we've got to pay for these things to going forward in hopes that we get some federal dollars to help offset those costs. Do we understand what those are?
Chair Hannon, Representative Hill, yes, sir. We expect that if we continue doing the types of things that we're doing right now, and that could become, we could end up doing more things than we're currently doing, or we may end up being able to back off some. But if we continued at the present rate, we could end up spending up to $1 million this biennium on costs associated with things that we had no way to anticipate, you know, in this budget, obviously.
Is that overtime? Is that equipment, training? I mean, I'm just trying to, I mean, if you're shifting resources, you're already paying for the person's, yes, and their time spent on something else, that doesn't cost us anything.
Well,
but, I mean, in the sense that
it costs us that they're not doing what they were originally planning to do, and assuming that you can shift them over and you know.
Right.
But I'm trying to understand in terms of, are we backfilling bodies? I mean, we have a hard enough time trying to get troopers.
Right.
I'm just trying to, what the overall real impact in terms of from a cash perspective is.
Yes, sir. Chair Hannon, Representative Hill. It's some of all of that. It's overtime. It may well involve some training costs. We're going to have to send some people to domestic terrorism training and other types of things. We may incur some equipment costs in terms of getting more involved in the criminal intelligence investigative arena than we were previously. And to your question as to whether the availability of federal dollars and how that may play out, I personally have met with Director Mueller, the new director of the FBI. We discussed with them and had input into federal legislation, which is contemplating how to disperse approximately $40 billion in homeland security costs and so forth, and made the point loud and clear that the policing of the United States of America is done by state and local law enforcement officers and not by the federal government per se. Everybody's got a role, but the big impact on communities and budgets is at the local level. And they're aware of that, and through the International Association of Chiefs of Police and at one of their divisions, of which I'm an office holder, we're having an input there, and we hope to be able to be included when they make their plans on how to distribute certain of those monies. And to the extent that may materialize, sir, it would certainly help the impacts on us and other partners in state government here, whether it be DAS, the governor's office, you know, fire marshal, public health, you name it. There's a core group of people that have come together, I think in a way that we all should be very proud of in terms of developing our response plans and preparations for what may come next. And the group has been working very successfully. We hope to be included in some of that federal money stream.
Thank you. Senator Carter.
Thank you very much for your report this morning. And I really was going to write a letter to the chairman regarding the Homeland Security Organization to see if truly states were going to be beneficiaries of this, since that's where law enforcement really does take place. So I'm glad to hear that you have been in contact and have raised the Oregon banner, if so to speak, in terms of that cost. And especially our state police, which is part of my love, because I've always said that Oregon State Police is the only people that I know don't have constituencies like other local police do. So thank you for that. But I'm concerned about the boxing and wrestling revenue shortfall. How did you guys get that, number one? And number two, what happened?
Senator, Chair Hannon, Senator Carter, is it 1993? I believe the 93 session of the legislature, in the consolidation of a number of other formerly standalone commissions and agencies, the Oregon Emergency Management, the Fire Marshal, Criminal Justice Services Division, and so on, and the Boxing Wrestling Commission were all put under the umbrella of the Department of State Police for administrative oversight. And so it is actually a part of a part of the Department of State Police. And when the tax, the commission's revenue source has historically been a percentage of revenue, a tax, if you will, on, for example, pay-per-view fees, that franchise fees that were paid by promoters for having boxing events broadcast on closed circuit or pay-per-view television, to give you one example. There was a legal action brought, and the Oregon Tax Court ruled that such a tax mechanism was unconstitutional. Thus, the funding source evaporated. Our budget was already, had already been through the Legislative Assembly, and there was no time to deal with it at the end of last session. $160,000 is a significant amount of money, but it's a small cost when you think about what all gets accomplished. So we're here not asking for those dollars at this point. We have a plan to mitigate for this biennium the cost of continuing to provide the services that the Boxing and Wrestling Commission provides. We think it's important. And we're going to continue to do that, and we'll probably be, well, we will be asking the next session of legislature to address that. But it just happened in such a timing, there was no way to deal with it.
Thank you.
Representative Doyle.
Thank you. Superintendent Rucker, I'm curious about the decision that was made to delay the second recruit school to January 2003. Why was that decision made, and what's the impact, I guess, besides the obvious loss of troopers?
Chair Hannon, Representative Doyle, when our budget was approved through the Ways and Means Committee, it was known at the time that there was about a $2 million shortfall in our budget. I certainly believe, and I believe members of the Legislative Assembly believe, there might be and probably would be a supplemental appropriation to our budget prior to the end of the session. In the final days of the session, when that and there were meetings with between the governor's office and leadership about that fact, and in fact the Christmas tree bill appropriated $500,000 toward the known shortfall that we had, leaving about $1.5 million of known underfunding issues across the department. We were asked to submit a plan to the leadership to how we would mitigate that $1.5 million if in fact there was only $500,000 appropriated to cover our shortfall. And in that plan, we provided a list of a number of things on how we would have, on what the impact of that budget shortfall would be. And one of those things included delaying the recruit school from September to January. I will also say that in the grand scheme of all of the things that we have in our business plan to mitigate budget shortfalls, the decision to delay the recruit school those 4 months amounts to about 3% of our business plan total. So we have a lot, you know, the huge majority of how we're dealing with our budget shortfalls are being dealt with otherwise than through that particular mechanism. So from our perspective, we submitted a plan through the governor's office to the legislature on how we would mitigate the budget shortfall, and that's in fact what was done. And so I am certainly aware, perhaps, that you and that other members that sat on our Public Safety Ways and Means Committee were not perhaps aware of that plan. And that is why the governor subsequently wrote a letter to explain what all had occurred, so that information would be made known to you and to other people that sat on our Public Safety Ways and Means Committee that might not have been in those discussions at the end of the legislature. The impact, and as I've said, I certainly have, as do my command staff, every desire to get these recruit schools underway and get them the positions filled as quickly as we can within the context of being able to balance our budget. And so we have done that. We've been able to move the school up. The impact of moving it, even delaying it from September until December, means that we're 3 months behind schedule in terms of getting these troopers trained and out to the communities. But they're going to be out there, and if we have another recruit school scheduled in our budget for January of 2003, and should we have an opportunity to move that one up as we execute our business plan, we'll do that as well.
Yes.
I guess my concern is, and you're right, first, is, you know, not being part of the session-ending discussions that suggest what you had just talked about. But as I look at it, you know, we had a problem last biennium where the troopers, you know, were budgeted for, and then decisions were made to cut those troopers. Instead of 100 new troopers, we only ended up with 25. Now, you know, we go forward, we try to reinstate the same, or at least reinstate troopers again, not the same amount. And then once again, the decision's made to cut them back, even though, you know, the legislative direction is to, you know, make sure that we get the troopers out on the road. The governor has been clear in the way that he has come forward, first with the the new entity, you know, to deal with the terrorist activities and increasing our security, and yet I'm getting a sense that the
the impact, and as I've said, we certainly have, I certainly have, as do my command staff, every desire to get these recruit schools underway and get them the positions filled as quickly as we can within the context of being able to balance our budget. And so we have done that. We've been able to move the school up. The impact of moving it, even delaying it from September until December, means that we're 3 months behind schedule in terms of getting these troopers trained and out to the communities. But they're going to be out there, and if we have another recruit school scheduled or in our budget for January of 03, and should we have an opportunity to move that one up as we execute our business plan, we'll do that as well.
Yes.
I guess my concern is, and you're right, first, is, you know, not being part of the, I guess, the session-ending discussions that suggest what you had just talked about. But as I look at it, you know, we've had a problem last biennium where the troopers, you know, were budgeted for, and then decisions were made to cut those troopers. Instead of 100 new troopers, we only ended up with 25. Now, you know, we go forward, we try to reinstate the same, or at least reinstate troopers again, not the same amount. And then once again, the decision's made to cut them back, even though, you know, the legislative direction is to, you know, make sure that we get the troopers out on the road. The governor has been clear in the way that he has come forward first with the new entity, you know, to deal with the terrorist activities and increasing our security, and yet I'm getting a sense that the I guess although the words are there, we're not seeing the actions. We've got an opportunity here where, you know, the positions have already been budgeted, and, you know, because of some people trying to make up budget differences in a different way, what they're doing is taking it away from the getting the troopers on the road, which is really the essence of public safety. And if we don't have them there, then and truly, it seems to me, the legislative direction has been get them on the road. But now here we go again, one more full biennium, and you know, we're not seeing these positions filled as we thought they would be.
Chair Hannon, Representative Doyle, sir, the costs of keeping troopers on the road are exactly in part what was underfunded in our budget. Cost for overtime, cost to operate vehicles for the troopers we already have, and I've got to be able to put gas in the cars and be able to pay people, pay the cost of doing business for the people that we have on the road. And we did, in fact, with agreement from DAS, from the governor's office, and it's my understanding from legislative leadership, decided to delay for 3 or 4 months this one recruit class. It was originally 4. We've been able to move it up to 3. We're going to hire these people as soon as we possibly can, but we've got to be able to pay all of the troopers that we have on the road. Rather than being able to, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, being able to continue to hire more people in an environment where we don't have an adequate funding to pay the ones we've already hired. And I would respectfully submit, Representative, that you and I are exactly on the same page on this goal to get these troopers out there. Everybody wants that. I want it too. I don't have the ability to run my budget into the red and not without a plan to get out of it. And that's been the challenge that I have faced. That's been the challenge that I've discussed with our BAM analysts, the LFO staff to your committee, or the committee in session, and the governor. And we're trying to do the very best we can to get them out there, and we're going to have them out there.
And just a final comment is that the budget note was pretty clear on what those numbers were going to be, and that management restructuring that had been discussed during public safety sub was going to be implemented to make those numbers work. And then, at least my impression is that now the response is that the numbers that we set as the objective just isn't reasonable, because we're not going to go through all the management reorganization that we had discussed before. And it just seems to me that although effort has been made, I'm not seeing that the kind of effort that actually should be used to make sure that the troopers are there on the road.
If I may, Chair Hannon and Representative Doyle, sir, we have executed all of the reorganization that we committed to making in our budget hearings. We've done a lot more since September 11th, and we will continue to look for ways to economize in the organization. And that was our commitment during the session. We're going to be back to report in April on our progress toward that to the emergency board as directed by the budget note. I'm very proud of what we've been able to do. I have every confidence that we have met the spirit of what the legislature intended. And I'll be more than happy to meet with you or any other member at any time to discuss those items in more detail. And perhaps they're not as visible as would have perhaps made your comfort level go up. And we can address that, but we've done what we said we were going to do, and we've had to react to some things that nobody could have planned for. And in a way, I think it's extremely responsible and has not come at a cost of putting troopers on the road. So the thing that has been, I think, sometimes lost in this conversation, and we can all remember back during our budget hearings and the conversation about restoration of more troopers. The governor proposed at one point to put $9.6 million into our budget when there was conversation about some of the kicker money being used. And those conversations were going on at the very time that our budget was being passed. And I think that in fact, when the budget was passed, and there, even though there was this known hole there in the budget, at least $2 million, I think it was passed with the notion that there was going to be this other appropriation was going to come in which case all of the things that everybody wanted to have happen and more would have been accomplishable in this biennium. But that supplemental appropriation, when it came in at one-fourth of what would have been necessary to mitigate the problems that everybody knew about, and the reality has been that we've had to develop plans to deal with that. And we've done so in a way that is as upfront and as communicative as we could do.
Thank you. Representative Hill. Okay, Senator Carter.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment. Representative Doyle, I think you've met the enemy, and it's us, because any department can only do what the money that they receive, and I think this is one of the cases where cuts has not helped a department to be as expedient as it needs to be in terms of our security. That's why I was so glad that with the Homeland Security Department coming on board, hopefully more federal dollars, other funds can come in, or federal funds for them to be able to operate. That has always, and I've been having this fight since 1984, it's just like we've always been understaffed with state police. And that's one of the enemies that we're still seeing.
Okay, the chair would move that we accept a report on the department's 2001-2003 business plan. Mr. Nisswinder.
Yes, Chair and committee members, LFO's recommendation is that you acknowledge receipt of the report with direction that you ask the department to continue to search for ways to advance the startup date for that second recruit school in an effort to eliminate some of the mid-biennium sworn staff shortages, and also direct the department to provide a follow-up business plan report when it appears before the emergency board in April on the results of its internal organizational review.
Representative Doyle, is that consistent with your idea in pursuing that and the staff recommendation?
That sounds fine.
Okay. I want to emphasize, too, Superintendent, that there's a lot of work that went in the subcommittee on public safety during the session, and there was a certain level of expectation about trying to get as many additional sworn officers out there on the highways and freeways and areas as possible. And I think that's the intent of this subcommittee, as well as the intent of the public safety subcommittee during the session, is that we work with you in that effort. And so I hope that when you come back in April, you have some perhaps more definite things you can share with us on how we're pursuing some of these things, too.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any objection to accepting this report? If not, it is so ordered. Representative Doyle, would you like to carry this?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Representative Hill? Okay. We're going to... Okay. Mr. Mills from LSU. Mr. Johnson had to leave, or is he coming back?
He had to leave.
He had to leave?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll just keep your item on the engineering in its regular order. Okay, I was going to move it up to accommodate him. I know he had to leave, and I apologize that we weren't able to accommodate his schedule. Okay. The next item is item 35 of the Marine Board. Senator Durfer is going to chair the committee. I have to go to another meeting for approximately 10 minutes, and I'll be right back.
We'll try to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Welcome. Please go ahead.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Paul Don Hefner, Director of the Marine Board. We're here today to respectfully request permission to apply for federal funds under a new U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service program for boating infrastructure grant. The program is intended to fund projects such as transient kayaks and harbors of refuge for non-trailable boats. We identified these federal fund revenues in our 2001-2003 budget, and $400,000 and federal fund limitation was approved by the legislature for facilities construction. However, explicit permission to apply for the federal funds was not requested. We believe that inclusion within the approved budget was sufficient, and that was an oversight on our part. The good news is that Oregon was extremely successful in the first nationwide competition for these funds. We were notified that six construction projects were approved for a total of $1.675 million. That's more than any other state received in that nationwide competition. The funds are available for construction this biennium, and the local governments who will receive the projects are anxious to proceed. We have sufficient other fund revenues programmed for match. The new federal dollars will stretch our state dollars on a 3-to-1 matching basis for much-needed construction projects in St. Helens, Rainier, Oregon City, Government Island up in Portland, Dalles, and Arlington. In addition to improving facilities, the projects will benefit local jobs during construction. We're requesting an increase in federal fund limitation of $1,266,210, and in addition to that, we are requesting authorization to apply for the federal funds in fiscal years 2002 and 2003. And I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Any questions? Representative Hill.
Why did you not discuss these grants prior to your submission?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hill, we erroneously were under the impression that having presented it in the budget document, both in terms of revenues and in terms of expenditures, and having it approved as a part of the budget, that was approval to proceed with applying for the funds. If that. process, but that's where that arose.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say for the record, apropos a conversation that we had in an earlier hearing with Senator Carter about agencies coming into districts and letting the legislators know what they're doing, you do that extraordinarily well. I frequently get letters from you indicating the activities that are ongoing in my district, and I just want to commend you for keeping legislators informed of your activities.
I just like to say he's never built a dock in my district, and so...
Okay, is there any other discussion? Is there any objections to approving the request? Okay, hearing them, so ordered. Thank you very much for coming down.
Okay.
I have Margaret here.
Yes, sir. We always order me around.
Okay, we're going to have Parks and Recreation Department, item number 36. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. For the record, my name is Mike Carrier, Director of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. And beside me is Linda Gilbert, Budget and Management Analyst. This first request is to describe some organizational changes made within our department in recent months to approve, request approval of rebalance to coincide with that organizational change. The 0103 biennial budget request was built around the former organizational structure of our department, and that was a structure that existed prior to my coming here over a year ago. And it was a structure in which the director operated principally as a chief executive officer, and all operations of the agency were managed through a deputy director. And that caused me some high level of discomfort, and that I found it very difficult to know as a director what was going on in the day-to-day operations of the agency, be close to the day-to-day decisions that really put the product out and the services that we deliver by trying to work within that structure. I wanted to wait at least a year in my tenure here to make any major changes in the organization. And after that first year, and unfortunately it was after our 0103 budget was adopted, I decided to put in place a plan in which I simply reallocated the deputy's position to an assistant director over the administrative services of the department, and then brought the operations, two parts of the operations of the agency, closer to me in the form of assistant director positions. In which we now have an organization in which the director supervises three assistant directors, one for administration, one for operations, and one for heritage conservation. We've attached to this request a before and after organizational chart, as well as a balance sheet showing how the dollars will be rebalanced, and we're just simply wanting to ensure that how we budget and expend our funds coincides with how we're organized. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about this item.
Okay. Any questions? Staff, did you have any?
No, Mr. Chair. LFO recommends approval of the request.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to give congratulations to the new manager, because we had been wrestling with this department for a very long time, and so I haven't had a chance to be in a committee where he was, but welcome to Oregon, and thank you for your leadership. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to support.
Okay, is there any objections to accepting the request? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you very much for coming down.
Mr. President, the hearing room F needs to borrow a senator to vote, so he respectfully requests Senator Carter, or I'm sorry, Senator Fuller.
Am I going to get a little extra money for this?
Let's get through the agenda. Well, they're gone. So.
There you go.
We passed 36.
We did? Now we're on 37.
Okay. Parks and Recreation number 37.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Mike Carrier, Director of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. And this item is to request additional limitation for a special program that is funded through Measure 66 funds from the lottery. And in the 9901 biennium, we had $5 million in lottery funds available that we award and grants to local communities, county and city government, for construction of park and recreation projects. We're very proud of that program. We're very pleased to be able to make those dollars available to communities. Again, this biennium, we have another $5 million. In that first biennium, though, we had requested limitation of 10% of those funds to handle administration of the program. The administrative costs that actually were incurred were significantly less, about $220,000. We are asking authority and limitation authority for that savings from the last biennium to be brought forward into this biennium so that we can make those funds available to local units of government for recreation projects now. I would be happy to answer any questions about this request.
Well, obviously, it'd be applauded that communities are staying alive in terms of parks and recreations and to be able to pull that money forward. Any objections?
Madam Chair, a carrier for this meeting?
A carrier, Senator Durfla.
And, Madam Chair, we need a carrier for the last item also.
Do you have a volunteer?
Representative
Dale. And we're moving on to 44. Item 44, Urban Transportation.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lorna Youngs, manager of the DMV. Item 44 is a report that was requested as a budget note, and it has three parts. It has to do with our information technology budget. We had in our Ways and Means presentation, in addition to our base budget, we had a series of policy option packages that we're asking for funding for additional technology projects as well as funding for the cost of implementing legislation. We were directed to develop a consolidated report for the cost of implementing all legislation at the department as well or at the division. So that's the first part of our report is the overall comprehensive cost of implementing legislation at DMV. The second part has to do with a request to re-examine a large technology project that we were funding out of our base budget to expand the number of digits in our customer number, which is essentially your driver license number, from 7 to 9 digits. We were asked to rethink that project and see if we could reduce costs. And then the third thing we were asked to do is to examine our, once again, re-examine our base budget for information technology projects and prioritize those or develop priorities for those projects. So this is a report of essentially our base budget. DMV had 36 bills, 21 of which required some changes to our system. We had priced each of these bills out independently under the assumption that you didn't know which ones were going to pass and which systems were going to be, whether there were any synergies at the time. We ended up also pricing those out using the potential of contractors as opposed to in-house staff, once again, not knowing what our workload would be. So we ended up with an original estimate of about 9,500 hours at an approximate cost of $100 per hour. We were able to make considerable savings in two ways. First of all, we were able to consolidate the efforts where the bills touched similar systems. We were able to reduce the total number of hours by about 500, but more importantly, we were able to substitute for about 85% of those hours the use of our own staff as opposed to contractor hours. The result is that we made considerable savings and the implementation costs for the bills will be reduced down to about $315,000. And we are proposing to redirect those savings into other information technology projects. As I said before, we had a large project for customer number. The driver license number, a 7-digit number, is also the number that ties together all our relational databases. So it's not only the numbers are not only assigned for driver licenses, but for businesses, for car dealers, for transactions, for cars, even where there's no driver license, it is the unique identifier that ties together our databases. And at our current rate of usage, we were anticipating running out of those numbers in the next 3 or 4 years, hence the need for the large project. We were asked by the legislature to rethink that and take a look at the opportunities for reuse of customer numbers. At DMV, because we are required to keep many of our records for a very long time, some driver records up to 99 years, for example, we have always operated under the principle once you have assigned a customer number to an individual, you maintain that individual's customer number because they can come back into the state or reuse that activity. But as a practical matter, after 10 years, we purged the customer numbers off the system and put it in microfiche. And after another 10 years, we put the microfiche into archives. And if we need to retrieve those records, we not only use the customer number, but other corroborating information like names, birth dates, etc. We felt that those numbers that had been archived in would be available for reuse safely without any effect on current customers. If somebody came back into the state, we could reassign them a new number. We were able to identify approximately 1.6 million numbers that had been archived over the years. And as a result, we are proposing to reuse that number database, stretching out our number capacity until about approximately 2011, which will allow us to make small incremental changes to our system, and we'll no longer need to have the project this biennium. That meant considerable savings now available in our base budget for reinvestment in a series of technology projects that we have identified and proposed to fund through a policy option package. So you also see in your report that with the savings from the customer number project, which we terminated, we are now able in our base budget to afford the legislation that we had originally had asked for additional funding for, some investment in our upgrade of our digital photo licensing, which needs to be upgraded in this biennium, additional money for installation of equipment. We are asking for $500,000, or we were proposing to move into our base budget $500,000 for internet vehicle registration as our first internet offering along when the state portal opens up. We want to upgrade our driver system infrastructure. We want to have the opportunity to provide debit credit cards in field offices, especially with fee increases. We're finding that more and more individuals don't have the cash or the credit or the check when they come into the office. They have to go to an ATM and come back. So if we can offer credit card services in the field, that will be more efficient for us and more effective for the customer. We want to upgrade our current drive test scheduling system. Also, we are also proposing to offer electronic liens and titles, which is essentially...
Excuse me, Representative Boyd.
Thank you. If you can go back, the drive test scheduling system, can you explain what that is?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Doyle. Currently, we centralize scheduling for drive tests. You call into DMV, you end up with phone agents in the women's prison, and then they will schedule you because you can go into any office. If your local office is unavailable, they'll find a drive test time for you in a nearby office. And so it's a centralized scheduling system. We are using an old outmoded system that was sort of retrofitted to work for us. It doesn't work all that well. We're looking to buy a new system.
Okay. So just to clarify, this has nothing to do with the older drivers
testing? No. This is just our regular testing, our regular scheduling system for the whole state.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Doyle, because that would have been my question, too. Us older drivers.
No. And finally, we are proposing to spend money to replace our personal computers that will be at least 4 years old in this biennium. A business cycle of 4-year replacement is what is recommended for ODOT and generally for government replacement cycles. And so that's a general report over how we're proposing to reprioritize and spend our base budget.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson.
Just as a matter of curiosity, what records would you need to keep for 99 years and on whose authority?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, our records retention schedule is driven by state law, and through the Archives Division, we have a retention schedule. There are certain records, and I have to get that information for you, but there are certain types of records that we
have very, very long retention schedules on.
Okay. That was my question. What happens in the case of the person who's deceased? Is that number able to be filtered back into the system?
Madam Chair, those were numbers that were part of the archive system, and there would be part of the pool that we would reuse. But if you could, the history on vehicles, for example, can go back many years. The history on driver histories, I mean, if you think individuals can be driving for 80 years or 70 years, you know. So you have long histories on individuals. You get your driver license at 16 and you're quite active driving for a very long time. So we have a very long record retention schedule because of the nature of our business.
Further questions? Any objections? Excuse me.
Madam Chair, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approving or acknowledging receipt of the report, and in doing so, you are also accepting the projects that they've identified in there to be used as a base budget savings.
Yes. You're asking me.
You're asking me.
Yeah, your position.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, thank you, Linda Gilbert, Department of Administrative Services, Budget and Management, and we recommend that the committee acknowledge receipt of the report.
Okay. Any objection?
Thank you.
45.
Madam Chair, again, Lorna Youngs, manager of the DMV. The next item is a request for additional limitation. During the course of the Ways and Means meeting sessions, we were provided a $2.5 million reserve out of the Indian Fund balance for additional technology projects, pending a approval, of course, by the Emergency Board, reviewed by JLC and IMT. What we are proposing here are three types of, or three groups of projects for additional funding, approximately $2.2 million. The first grouping are additional infrastructure investment needs that we've identified since coming forward with our original budget. Our personal computer replacement strategy, for which we are able to afford $250,000 in our base budget, does not complete the upgrade of computers that will be needing replacement this biennium, thus deferring into next biennium a larger volume of computers that would need to be replaced. So we're proposing an additional funding to approximately $378,000 to complete the PC replacement cycle so that all our PCs will be upgraded according to the four-year cycle. And we are doing this as most efficiently as we can. We're maintaining the monitors and essentially replacing the CPUs. The second item is that ODOT has taken advantage of the Microsoft Enterprise Licensing Agreement offer, which essentially allows you to lock in a reduced price for two upgrades, which will save ODOT approximately $1.5 million over the life of the contract. This was, of course, unanticipated in our base budget, and we are asking for $438,000 for our share of that software licensing agreement. We are also asking for funding to complete the total conversion of DMV from token ring to Ethernet. Headquarters has converted to Ethernet, and we're now proposing to convert our field office, which will allow us much faster and more reliable data communications. In the course of examining the portfolio of projects that we have undertaken in our base, we have identified a major shift in the kinds of projects that we're doing, from projects that were primarily focused on keeping the engine of production, which is the computer, operating well and upgrading it, to projects that essentially transform the business, such as internet or partnerships with third parties, which means that we need to spend as much time looking at our business processes and determining how we can be most efficient there as much as we need to spend time looking at how to build the most efficient computer support for that. And so in order to enhance our capacity to change our organization, we hired a consultant last biennium to examine
what was our current capacity and readiness, and what changes did DMV need to make to be more ready to do these kinds of projects, these business change projects. And their recommendations were to strengthen three important functions in DMV. The first is program management. If you can think of us as a construction firm with five or six different building projects occurring at the same time, you need a good operations manager to make sure the plumbers are on each job when the plumbers need to be there, and that there's no conflict between jobs on resources and individuals. We have project managers that manage individual projects. We need to strengthen our program management effort to make sure that all the projects are moving smoothly and that we're resourcing them appropriately. We are also in need of more expertise in the area of business architecture, in the sense of you set up your business to deliver certain kind of services in a certain sort of way. You're centrally driven, or you're driven out of, or you're providing services out of regional offices, and those drive certain business architectures. As we change from the DMV doing business to more business done by partners or more business done through the internet, not only do we need to change the technology infrastructure, we also need to change the business service architecture and infrastructure, and we need expertise in making sure that as these projects get done, that we don't end up building something that is not efficient. So we're looking for additional resources to help for business architecture. Each time we put together a project, we have a technical team lead and a business team lead. The business work team lead works on the business process to make sure they're getting the appropriate changes and are most efficient, and the technical teams work on the IT architecture. We need additional business team leads, which we're calling business change leaders, to make
That's
sure.
That's a question.
Senator Carter.
There's somebody working on a PhD over there, and they're getting new language to design, to define design work or something. Somebody got to be doing some kind of research over here.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, we are looking at, if I'm tracking on your question, I perhaps am speaking too much in the language of business technology, and I apologize for that.
That's it, you're fine.
But essentially, what we're trying to do is to match up our business processes and our computer systems so that the two are working together as efficiently as possible. And when you change one, you have to change the other. And too often in companies, you change one, like the computer, and you don't change the business processes. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that instead of continually borrowing people out of the business to work on a computer project, having to backfill, that we actually have the people with business know-how that can marry up with the people with the technical know-how and end up making these projects more successful.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Hill.
Mr. Chair, to follow on the thought, too often in state government, we don't look at changing the business processes. Agencies go out and say we need to develop a custom application rather than going and finding something that has already been designed and built, invested by somebody else's dollars, and we can go and implement it, and all we got to do is change business processes because, you know, we keep following processes, and the Department of Transportation is one of those areas in terms of, you know, where they had processes developed in the 1930s, and today they figure that, you know, that we've been doing it for that long, we should just continue to do it. And, you know, they're moving and trying to adopt and look at how they can change business processes to get less costly technology decisions in there. And I applaud them on getting the business architect in. Too often we spend too much money on consultants, and we don't have certified smart people on our side of the team. And this is a balance this out. We looked at this yesterday in joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee, had extensive discussion about this. I think this is a very good direction to go forward. It balance it out. I think it'll give the agency what they need to go forward. And I would wholeheartedly suggest that we go forward.
Senator Carter?
No cynicism, no criticism. It's just that as a counselor myself and as a person who looks at language as a tool, I see what you're doing is that you're requesting and you're asking people to come with a better skill background to do the things that you have been doing, which is
you know, one of those mental cross-pollinations that I think is very important when people come to the workplace, that they bring more than one set of skills. And so I think this is great. And actually, I guess I was trying to be a little comical in a sense that you have a PhD doing research and is creating a book for himself by giving new names and new identities to things that you want to see happen.
Okay, further questions? If not, Ms. Gilbert?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Linda Gilbert, Department of Administrative Services, and we recommend that the committee approve the request.
Okay.
Oh, modified, I'm sorry. To increase other funds expenditure limitation by $2,053,881 to establish 5 permanent full-time positions, 3.75 full-time equivalent, for technology needs of the driver and motor vehicle services. The difference between DMV's request and this recommendation is an accidental double counting of $160,000 for positions that the agency was going to use overtime money for. They won't need the overtime money now.
Okay. Representative Doyle?
Just to clarify, you said permanent positions versus limited duration?
This is our recommendation. Yes, that, Representative Doyle.
Okay.
Dale MTC's recommendation was limited duration positions.
And we're going to get to LFO recommendation here in a moment.
LFO.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as Representative Hill indicated, the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology reviewed this yesterday and are recommending that the emergency board establish 5 limited duration positions in addition to recommending approval of the increase in other funds expenditure limitation of $2,053,881. And they're also recommending that $750,000 be unscheduled, or that we request DASTA to unschedule $750,000 of the internet project pending a report in January to the Information Management Technology Committee on the project plan. And LFO concurs.
Okay, you've heard the LFO recommendation.
Oh, question, Representative.
Senator Carter.
Representative Hill, and in unscheduling the $750,000, what do you see, what will this delay bring?
I don't think it will, it was 75% of the project, so they'll be able to go forward and continue going forward. It was just make sure that they have a clear picture of where they're going. It wasn't 100% of the dollars, it was 75% of the dollars.
Okay.
Okay, you've heard the motion and the recommendation by LFO. The motion is by Representative Bill to accept the LFO recommendation on item 45, increase the other funds expenditure limitation, $2,053,881, approve the establishment of 5 limited duration positions and direct the department to include a detailed list of base budget and technology projects and so forth as recommended by LFO, including the unscheduling of the money. All right. Representative Doyle.
I wasn't sure that I heard. Did you say that? Making them permanent or making them limited?
Limited duration.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify, there's a discrepancy between, there's 500 and 450 some odd dollars there, difference. The JLMC is $2,053,333 versus $2,053,881.
That's what I read.
So 881 is the right number.
881 is the correct number.
Thank you.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Not, it's been so approved. Representative Hill, would you carry this, please?
And the last item, the report. Oh, I didn't get a carrier on that one either.
Item 44, Senator Carter, would you take that? Okay, item 46.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And can we keep it real brief because we need to move it along, Mr. Marsh.
Mr. Chair, happy to help out
before tomorrow.
Mike Marsh from ODOT here to present on the item dealing with implementation of House Bill 3946, Mr. Chair. The legislature was concerned about the long-term viability of the fuel tax system, considering the kind of cars that are out there going from 14 miles per gallon to 19 miles per gallon. fuel economy from 5 to 75 miles per gallon. A lot of issues about whether that is a long-term viable funding source for the transportation system. The legislature passed House Bill 3946 to form a task force to look at possible alternatives to the fuel tax system currently in place for highway funding, to look at technical feasibility of these alternatives and the potential public acceptance. We applied to the federal government, to the Federal Highway Administration, for a value pricing pilot program to receive funding to implement the task force and the review, and to identify and demonstrate the best possible mechanisms for statewide fuel tax alternatives. That application has been approved. We are now in the process of working with the legislative leadership to appoint the members to that task force and expect that to be completed this week. Next week. Phase one of the project will be pre-project work, i.e. Technical research, evaluation of the issues, and development of recommendations to the next legislative session.
My only question is the one limited duration position. Out of your entire staff over there at ODOT, is there one person sitting around with lack of things to do because there's, out of an organization, there's always a skeleton hanging around in the closet, filing paperwork somewhere for make-do projects? And rather than creating a limited duration position, why can't this be absorbed in-house?
Mr. Chair, two things. First of all, we're eliminating all those skeletons and closets, and Mr. Chair, we're making sure that everybody has a full-time job to do. Secondly, this function is one that is a specialty function. They'll be working with a task force established of legislators, business people, others, with a high degree of expertise required in order to manage the issues around this. We're looking at alternatives to a new financing system. In essence, it's the same as going to a sales tax as compared to an income tax. We're talking about a major change. Mr. Chair, we're seeking a position that will work with this level of businessmen, businesswomen, leaders from the legislature as well as others to make sure we have a system that can make sense to the next legislative session.
Representative Hill.
Are you going to fill this position with your best thoughts from within the Department of Transportation? Or hire someone externally because you don't feel you have the skill set necessary internally?
Mr. Chair, we're going externally.
Okay, you've heard the recommendation. Das?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the subcommittee, the Department of Administrative Services recommends the committee approve the request.
LFO?
Legislative Fiscal concurs with the Das recommendation.
The motion is to approve the request and make the establishment of a limited duration position 0.75 FTE. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's